WLBB, Carrollton, News Talk, 1330, FM 106.3.
Good morning. Welcome to the Community Voice. I'm Steve Graddick, your host. Delighted to have you with us. Happy St. Patty's Day, and hope everyone's going to have a great week. Thankfully, we got through the storm Saturday evening. The title of the program is Community Voice, and our guest this morning is probably the epitome of that.
Wow.
Both legitimately a community voice and figuratively is what that means for the buildup of our area. And you certainly have contributed, I would say, as much as anybody to growing Carrollton and Carroll County to what we know to love and enjoy today. With that introduction, I'd like to welcome Doyle Akins to the studio to his return to WLBB.
Thank you.
Good to have you with us. We're going to visit a little this morning with Doyle, kind of a little different program for me, but I've known Doyle now for many years, and his history and his what he's accomplished and what he's done here in West Georgia is really kind of fascinating. But you came down from Dalton, right?
Right. I was born in Dalton and raised there, and came here in 1958 to go to school.
What was it called in 19? It wasn't the University of
West Georgia. No, it was West Georgia College.
West Georgia College. What'd
right.
What'd you take?
Well, I majored in biology.
Why?
And, well, I was interested in that. I had worked in ambulance service in a funeral home up there and kind of got involved with that, and had a great biology teacher in high school and enjoyed that. So I taught biology and anatomy and physiology for about 5 years at Bowdoin.
Yeah, we're going to get to your teaching. Well, now, when right after you graduated, you didn't start teaching immediately, did you?
Yes.
You did. Okay.
I surely did.
You taught at Bowdoin High School.
Right.
And you taught biology.
I taught biology, yes.
You must have really liked biology.
Well, it was fun, and I enjoyed the teaching.
Biology did nothing for me, so I guess that's why I'm focusing on it. Okay, so you taught from like in the late 50s? Early 60s?
From 62 to 67, right, 5 years.
Really? So
yes.
You were the biology teacher at Bowdoin High School,
right,
in the 60s. Do you remember any of your students?
Oh, yes.
I've
still sort of been a part of the Bowdoin community. Yesterday, I spoke at a funeral of a friend of mine who was died at 100 years old.
Really?
Edna Huey. And her son, Mike Huey, worked some at the radio station with me. He got me to get him a job while he was going to high school. But he was a drummer and became a drummer and went to L.A. and So, things like that formed friendships that
sure.
we had,
sure.
and I probably had 20 or 30 former students there yesterday that I talked with.
Wow.
And I see them regularly.
Wow.
I go back to the Bowdoin Historical Society every month. We go down there, and so it became a part of what I was and did, and those students are still... See, what happened is they became friends older, because when I went to teach, I came down here at 16. I graduated at 20. I turned 21 the week I started teaching, and some of those students were 18 at that time. So I was just a couple or 3 years older than they were. And
interesting. So you started college at age 16?
Yes. I had skipped a grade somewhere in school. I went to a small school that had two grades per room, and some distant cousin of mine, I don't think, wanted me for 2 years, so she put me up a grade. And I wound up being the youngest person in class all through school.
Well, you mentioned something in that answer that we're going to dive right into. You said radio station. So
yes.
Tell me, I understand you used to work at WLBB.
Yes. Had an interesting start to this that I don't think I've told you.
Yeah, all radio stories start that way.
I was in college and early, taking my second level English course from the head of the department, Dr. Griffin, and I was from Dalton. And you talk about a hillbilly. I was a hillbilly.
Can you talk hillbilly?
I could talk that hillbilly
you talk
stuff.
That talk.
Yes. And I wasn't from Dalton. I was from Dalton, you know, and all these kinds of things. But anyway, I was in his class, second class I'd had from him. And he said, Mr. Akins, would you stop by my desk after class? And I said, sure. So when everybody left, I went by. I thought I was in trouble. And he said, let me tell you something. He said, you write quite well. You do well in class. But when you talk, you slay the King's English.
Ooh, that hurts.
And he said, you need to go out to the radio station and see what they do to train people how to talk.
Uh-huh.
And I said, that's interesting.
Yeah, that's what radio needed.
So I did. I paid a visit out there, and at that time it was the people who were managing the station were running it and doing all that, and there was not a job available. But I talked to them. They told me about a school called Elkins in Atlanta. You've heard of Elkins?
Yeah, in fact, I did a little there, too.
And somehow I looked up some things. I never thought about going to that school, you know, but yeah. I looked up some things, and I started really making an effort to learn how to talk because everything I said was not correct. And so I began to do that because of that, and that didn't have much to do with my going to the radio station. But anyway, I got involved in sports at Bowden. Always loved sports. And
what did you do, coach?
No. I was the PR person for the athletic department. I wrote all the articles for the paper. We did a Saturday morning. That's how I got started in radio.
Okay.
I started doing a Saturday morning recap of the Bowden football games at Griffin's department store. They sponsored
the Friday night game on Saturday morning.
Because we didn't have nighttime radio at that time.
Yeah, that's true.
We didn't have nighttime radio, so started doing that football program.
Mm-hmm.
And that got me involved with the people at the radio station. And then things happened. I don't even remember how I got started into news. And I started being a news stringer.
You call it a news stringer. You weren't a reporter? What do you mean, stringer?
Well, I did special stories. If something happened, I had a scanner at that time. And, in fact, they bought me a scanner very early on.
You had to put it together, right?
And, yes. Heathkit type thing.
God bless Heathkit.
Yes. But anyway, that was the old school type thing. But then I got to doing play-by-play when the FM station came on, and I can't remember what year the FM station came on.
Probably
64?
No, 68, wasn't it?
Yeah, I guess it was. 67,
somewhere 68. In there.
Yes.
Yeah.
I helped put the FM station on the air, and I worked then some doing ball games at night, things of that nature. We had the FM station was coming on and was automated. Going to be automated.
Yeah,
and
I blew that up.
And I worked hours at night while I was teaching. I would go to the radio station and work many hours putting tapes together. I taped all the music for the FM station.
I didn't know that.
And all that kind of thing. Put all the tones on and these kinds
so
of things.
Nothing. Scullies and everything.
Very little electronics in those days.
Well, tell me about your what you did news-wise. You were a stringer reporter for a lot of years.
Yes.
Do you remember some of the people you interviewed?
I had developed relationship with governors and
I know how that goes.
All these kinds of things. I remember with Governor Maddox, one that I was in line my father-in-law wanted to go see the new governor's mansion, and he had an open house, and so we went.
Yeah.
And we were in line, and I had known the governor, and had been interviewing him about some things. And so we were there. These three guys were in front of us, kind of rough looking, but they were okay. not unusual for the Maddox crowd. And so we were standing there in the line. We waited late in the day, so it wouldn't be long. But these people went up to the governor and talked to him for a minute. And he had this funny look on his face, and he said, Doyle, come here. And he just saw me there. And he said, took me over to the side, and he said, look, these three guys are three guys who escaped from prison on Saturday. And they're telling me that they escaped to come tell me about some terrible things that are going on in the prison.
Wow.
And I want to hear what they have to say.
Wow.
And he said, would you mind walking them around to the guardhouse and tell the guards to keep them there till I get through with this, and I'll be out there, because it was getting the end of the line and it was getting late. And tell them I'll be out there, and tell them not to move them. Tell them to hold them there. I want to talk to them. And so he talked to them, and I stayed around there to see what was going on. And he talked to them, and that became the beginning of one of the biggest redos of the prison system in Georgia that ever occurred.
Wow.
He told those people that came to get him to pick those guys up from the prison. He said, look, I've talked to these guys. They have agreed that they're going to serve their prison sentence. And I don't want you to prosecute them. I do not prosecute them for escape, or I'll pardon them. He said, but they want to finish their sentence. Mm-hmm. They understand, but we're going to get some things done. And so that was interesting.
That's a great story. I got to know the governor too, so it's fascinating. I hadn't heard that story. That's great. We're going to take a break. We're going to be back with more with Doyle Akins after these words.
Oak Mountain Academy is an innovative school of academic excellence celebrating over 61 years. I'm Patrick Curran, head of school, inviting you to join us on the mountain to see our mission and vision in action. Academic excellence, a faith-based environment, and dynamic opportunities are just a few of the reasons our families choose Oak Mountain Academy. Academic scholarships and tuition assistance are available. For more information, visit us at oakmountain.us. Discover your journey at OMA. Prepare, explore, and achieve.
Consider the Mobius strip. Take a strip of paper, twist it, connect the ends. This connection forms a continuous loop. Seamless, infinite. That's how your healthcare should be too. At Tanner Health, the Mobius is our symbol and our promise, representing our continuum of care and our commitment that the services you need will be here for you always. We're not just changing healthcare, we're redefining it. See more at Tanner.org.
Good morning. Welcome back to the Community Voice. And so we have the epitome, like I said, of the Community Voice, which is Doyle Akins. So you're teaching biology at Bowdoin High School. You're a reporter at WLBB Radio in the 60s. But tell me how you transitioned into, you're probably best known for your work at CFB, Carrollton Federal Bank.
Well, I started doing some commercials.
It's always dangerous.
And doing some studio work on the side. I started taping commercials for the bank. And they had a guy named Jay Horton at the newspaper who did a really good job for them with their newspaper ads and this kind of thing. Also, as a sideline, I was always trying to make money. I had three or four jobs going, trying to stay alive. So I was selling advertising specialties on the side. I was selling them and talking to them about their marketing plans.
Really?
And so they said, well, why don't you come to work for us? So I went to work for the bank to be the marketing person.
Oh, okay.
And I did all their marketing. And of course, I did a few other things. A small bank, small business, like anywhere, you have to do a lot of things, like take out the trash and water the flowers. But
yeah. Well, now that you mention that, I remember you because we would get our commercials from you.
Yes.
That was a while back, though.
But
that was when we were doing it.
Right.
So you were there for 34 years.
34 years at Carrollton Federal.
That's a long time.
Surely was.
What did you think when you saw all the transitions of all the banks when we had the banking crisis? I think it was 2006 and 7 and yeah, 8 and 9.
In 89, there was a savings and loan crisis that came. They closed all over the nation.
Right. And Carrollton Federal was a savings and loan?
Yes.
Okay.
We were a savings and loan at that time. And so we weathered that storm. We were very stable. And we weathered that storm and later changed over to a bank because of the changes mm-hmm. in the banking system.
Right.
We became Carrollton Federal Bank.
Yeah, I remember that.
Yes.
And the big building that downtown next to First Baptist was Carrollton Federal.
That Ray Lynn has now.
Ray
That's
Lynn
right.
Has
that
now.
Was that was Carrollton Federal. And, of course, we had branches in Bowdoin and Villarica and Bremen.
Right.
I opened one in Franklin for a while. And then my last job with the bank, I became a division director. I set off a completely new division of the bank, and I opened 4 Walmart store banks.
Yeah,
remember those. In the Atlanta area.
Oh, okay.
And in 1 year, I opened those.
Well, how did they succeed? That's kind of risky, isn't it?
It was a different situation.
Yeah.
We needed to grow the bank, we needed deposits and that kind of thing. So I worked at those things, and we grew the bank, at that time, 70-year-old bank or whatever, by 10%.
Really?
We did well, and then when it came time to Truist came calling and wanted to buy the bank, they did not like in-store banks, so we closed those prior to the purchase of our bank by Truist
mm-hmm.
because they wanted us to.
Let's transition now. So you're a teacher at Bowdoin High School, but somewhere along the way you got attached to the Trojan Band. How did that happen?
I got a call from my father in Dalton. He said, you guys have a new band director coming. His name is Don Hall. And he has rented a house from your uncle. Your uncle Carl, he rented a house when he came to Valley Point High School to be the band director. And you need to go meet him. And so I find out he moved down the street from me from Oak Avenue, so I went down to meet him. And in our conversations, he found out I was doing some things at Bowdoin, and I had left Bowdoin, and I'd done all the sports, and I'd do play-by-play and announcing. And he said, I need an announcer for the band. Would you be the announcer for our band? And I said, well, sure I would. And so it gave me an opportunity to stay in sports and watch a lot of football. And so I loved the band too. So I went started that in 1969 with Don Hall.
What was he like? He's legendary. I mean, tell me a little something about
Don. He was straightforward. He was a musician, and he wanted the band to do everything exactly right. He was a great disciplinarian, and he had me down on Friday evenings after I'd have to leave work for a little while. He'd say, can you get down here for a little while and practice? We practiced with him on Friday, and on Thursday, I'm sorry.
Yeah, because you got to prepare.
We practiced on Thursday.
Their routines.
As he was finishing up the practice, and then I would be there on Friday night. And he was a straightforward guy. He wanted things to be right, and they were. That band had a lot of awards and did a lot of great things.
So it's been how many? You're still doing it?
Yes.
57 years?
Yeah, this will be 57.
They pay you a lot to do it.
Yes, they double my salary every year.
Oh, they
from zero.
Zero
to zero.
Zero
to
zero. Zero, yeah. Wow, that's amazing. That's a lot of years.
Yes, it is. But it's been enjoyable.
Now they just perform at home, right? They don't perform on, well, they go on the road, but you don't go on
I've
the road.
I've always traveled. Until
you
the
travel?
Last 2 or 3 years, I traveled. And I never missed, I missed a game at North Hall back about 10 years ago for sickness or something.
Yeah.
No, I think it was weather related.
Yeah.
But anyway, I missed a game at North Hall, but I didn't miss many. I was there all the way. And about 3 years ago, I stopped traveling, and I only do the home games now.
Okay. All right, we got Doyle Akins in studio, former reporter for WLBB Radio, and we'll be back with more after this.
The AP Scholar Journey at Oak Mountain Academy is designed to provide students with a clearly defined advanced placement curriculum track to earn a series of distinctions upon graduation. This journey enables academically prepared students to pursue college-level studies throughout 17 AP courses in 5 subject categories while enrolled at OMA. I'm Patrick Uran, head of school, inviting you to journey with us on the mountain. For more information, visit us at oakmountain.us. Discover your journey at OMA. Prepare, explore, and achieve.
Consider the Mobius strip. Take a strip of paper, twist it, connect the ends. This connection forms a continuous loop, seamless, infinite. That's how your healthcare should be too. At Tanner Health, the Mobius is our symbol and our promise, representing our continuum of care and our commitment that the services you need will be here for you always. We're not just changing healthcare, we're redefining it. See more at Tanner.org.
Welcome back to the Community Voice. We've got Doyle Akins in the studio. We're having a good time, you know, somewhat reminiscing and reflecting. Now, in the midst of all of this, going to school, becoming a teacher, et cetera, I mean, very active. You're talking about having 2 or 3 jobs at the same time. Somewhere along the way, you found time to get married. And then you married this woman who you've been married to for how many years?
63.
63 years. Well, tell me
this year. Yeah. I married in 1962, so I try to keep up with those numbers.
Where'd you meet Rebecca? How did that start?
I met Rebecca at the corner drugstore, one of those stories.
That's funny.
From college, I came to college, and during the first couple of 3 weeks, I was trying to meet some people, and I came up over to the corner store across from the high school there on Union, when high school was at the old place, and all these high school girls hanging around, and I saw her, and then I met her in an automobile, stopped to talk with somebody, and found out who she was, and we started to date. So that was kind of, you know, I don't remember all the details, but I did know who she was within the first 2 or 3 weeks I was in Carolina.
How long did it take before y'all got married?
We didn't marry until we got out of college.
Oh, okay.
I finished college. She went to work, and then she went to work for a dentist.
Oh, okay.
And she was working for Dr. Moore, the dentist here, for a number of years, and I was going to, when I started to teach. But we got married on August the 5th.
And she became
a teacher.
Well, now you had a daughter. How many kids did y'all have?
My daughter taught. Yes.
Your daughter taught. Mm-hmm. She taught, so that she carried on the teaching tradition.
Yeah, she taught 38 years in Bremen.
Ooh, that's a long time too.
I try to get adjusted to these years. This getting old is difficult.
Well, you're only 83 now. So,
yes.
I mean, you know, you and I got nothing to say because we bring Don Levins in here, and I think he's 112 or something.
Right.
So anyway, so you and Rebecca have been traveling around now for all these years.
We went together all those years.
Y'all generally, when you see you see Rebecca, and vice versa.
Well, you know, during the years we've been talking about, we were not together that much because I was working things, doing PR things for the bank, and doing sports at the school and this, that, and the other, and she was working 12 hours a day at the dentist's office, and we didn't do that many things together, so we've been together since, you know, when I was working at the bank and doing those Walmart banks, I was gone till late night,
Yeah.
And working a lot of hours.
Well, we're going to run out of time, but let's transition back to WLBB because you got to work with Ken Childs, and he was a real character at WLBB, right?
Yes. I kind of knew Ken. I didn't know him well, and there was some discussion at the radio station at that time about hiring a diversity type thing.
We needed African American.
That was during some tumultuous times and I had been through that at Bowdoin as we integrated the schools.
Right.
And we were trying to find ways to do things in a reasonable manner. I think this community overall went through that period in very good fashion. And one of the things we wanted to do was get someone on the radio to give everybody in the community a voice. And
well, he became a county commissioner.
Yes.
And he hosted this program for a number of years.
Yes, he did. Yeah. And his first idea came about one night when I picked him up. I was training him to be a news person.
Okay.
And we had an incident going over on the other side of town, and I heard about it on the scanner, and I called him, and I picked him up, and I said, "You need to go with me. We're going to cover a story over here." And we went over here, and it's an incident where a group of people were throwing rocks at the police. Mm-hmm. They were on one side. We pulled up unknowingly right in the middle of that in my car.
Mm-mm.
Ken jumps out of the car, looks around at what's going on, and he said to the group, he yells out, he said, "What are you doing?" He said, "You're not going to accomplish anything throwing rocks. If any of you need to talk about what's going on and you don't like something, if you pick three people and bring them to me to the radio station tomorrow, and I'll put you on the air. And I'll let you say whatever your problems are. Right. We'll just talk about it."
He did that for a number of years, too.
Yes. And he said, you do that, but right now you need to go home. And you come. Find three people. Bring them. We'll sit around a table, and we'll put you on the air." And he did those kinds of things. And he was a real voice.
Yeah, he was.
In that area.
He was a character.
He was great.
Yeah, I got to know him fairly well. He was a real character. Smart guy. Extremely
yes.
smart. And I think his father was a legendary educator.
He was a librarian here for many years.
Yeah, so there's a true story there. We shall not should not fail to mention that I believe your son-in-law was the former mayor.
Yes.
So you've been well connected for me.
He came to town and ran for mayor and won.
He won, too.
Yes.
How about that?
It was interesting.
So anyway, well, Doyle, thank you for coming in. It's been a pleasure. It's always good to kind of reminisce and get a little bit of history at the same time. So thank
30
you.
30 minutes is
oh, and we need
not
to,
much for
yeah, I know.
84 years.
Yeah, we could talk hours. But I do need to mention, what was it? You got the Melvin Jones Award from the Lions Club International?
Yes.
So congratulations on
I
that.
I have been a member of the Lions Club for 57 years.
Well, we thank you for all you've done for this community, and we thank you. You're a real inspiration. And God bless, and we look forward to many more years. Maybe we start bringing you back once a year.
Well, that's interesting.
Yeah, that'd be interesting to do. I know I would enjoy it.
Right.
We thank you, everybody, for listening. We thank you, our sponsors, Oak Mountain Academy, Tanner Health System. Go out and make it a great day. You're in tune to WLBB, Carrollton.